Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Are the days of Zechariah warned of upon us? Join Stephen Bannoun and host Bonnie Harvey for a discussion of Jerusalem, the Flashpoint.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Flashpoint, where the spark that will ignite the world. And it's just getting darker and deeper and more kindling on the pile. We have tried to get with you before this, but it's been 2 weeks, and I do apologize for that. With me, of course, Stephen Bannoun. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Thank you, Bonnie. May have been 2 weeks, and we do apologize for the delay, but it will be a bombshell of information today, no doubt.
Yes, it'll be worth it. Stephen, I'm just going to let you go. We are going to start in the recent happenings in the Gulf of Oman there between, I guess it's Oman and Iran, just before the Strait of Hormuz. And the Strait of Hormuz, of course, is kind of a choke point through which all about 30% of the world's oil flows on tankers. And it's a very narrow, the channel is very narrow. It is a perfect ambush point. What happened there, Stephen, and who did it? And what does it mean?
Well, you know, the thing is, and I'm sure many people have been watching the news here for the last couple of weeks, or actually the last week, and so many people are following the story about the two Japanese oil tankers. One of them is owned by a Japanese company. I forget who owns the other one, but they both were laden down.
Norway, I think.
Okay, owned by Norway, but they were being loaded up with their goods to go to Japan. And while this was vessels had just been loaded and they were on their way out, at the same time, Prime Minister Abe of Japan was meeting with the Khomeini of Iran. He was trying to bridge a gap between the tensions of the United States and that of Iran in the region there to try to bring this to an end. Because there are some nations that would like to see peace in the region here, unlike other regional players there. The Saudis do not want to see a peace deal there. Israel definitely does not want to see peace reached with Iran right now, nor the United Arab Emirates, etc. There's a lot of players there that I really believe, Bonnie, would like to see a war get started. That being said, though, the narrative that we are seeing that is being played out in the media is that these tankers were attacked by the Iranians themselves. And when I first began, and this all started, I guess about 5 days ago, right from the very beginning, I was already getting the intelligence on what was really going on. But at the same time, I was watching some of the most absurd thoughts being put out there of why these tankers were being struck, and they were being struck by Iran from what all Western media was playing out. And even some other parts of the world as well besides Western media were following the narrative, including Israel, that Iran had struck these oil tankers, even though it seemed to be counterproductive to their interests, but they had been the ones to strike the oil tankers. It started off as a torpedo. And then it went from a torpedo to landmines that were attached to the sides of the ships. And then the United States produces a video of what appears to be, and I have to say alleged, an Iranian vessel removing an alleged landmine from the side of one of the tankers. Now, in all of this, at the same time, while this is going on, one of the first things that we did at Israeli News Live, we had already released a video, and we'd called it "Who Torpedoed the Japanese Tankers?" Our video was blocked on all portable devices. It was that you were able to see it limited on a desktop computer, but you could not see it on a cell phone. You couldn't see it on an iPad or an equivalent of that nature there. They had blocked it, and it remained blocked on those devices for the next 4 hours while the U.S. Put together their narrative on what had happened to these ships there. And I think the purpose was they did not want something opposite out of U.S. media going viral before they had a chance to corrupt the minds of the American public and convince them that the Iranians were just really wackos. And you know, I have to say, though, Bonnie, when I speak about these things, that when it comes to Iran, I am no cheerleader for Iran. The abuses that this government does to its own people, and of course, there's so much that could be said there that Iran is definitely not the most favored nation in my status either. But I don't believe that innocent people should die just because a lot of things are being used against them that they didn't do. And that's something that bothers me, is when someone is being falsely accused. And it troubles me more because God has said in his word that we're not to bear a false accusation against your neighbor. And yet I'm watching this being done, and I know so because I've got friends in very, very, very high places in different countries all over the world, including the United States, including Israel. And even I have sources with Iran that let me know what goes on the inside of Iran. And these are not people that support the government of Iran either, but at least I can get the truth out there of what's really happening. So we saw this grainy video that is alleged to be the Iranians' boat coming in there and removing this landmine. I want to say alleged, and let me kind of clarify myself, because I'm building a case up so you guys can think about this a little bit more as we go along here. We had did a report on Israeli News Live about 2 weeks ago. And in this report here, we were getting intelligence then, because there were other attacks that were going on to ships in that region, that there were loyal Iranians, loyal to John Bolton, that had been arrested for purchasing boats identical to that of the Iranian Guard. One such group was arrested in the United Arab Emirates for purchasing the exact same type of boats, and then also in Yemen. So keep that in mind. In Yemen and in the United Arab Emirates is where this was taking place. And it was said to me at that time by the source that I had that they were going to use these boats in order to conduct attacks on, at that time I was being told, possible U.S. interest in the region. So we had covered that. And
Okay, now who perpetrated the purchase of these Iranian Guard boat duplicates?
Let me see if I can pull up the name on that, Bonnie.
I see.
John Bolton had worked and with a very sinister Iranian group. And I want to see if I can, because I can't remember the name. It's kind of a complex name there. I'm going to just see. The Mujahideen of Iran. Now, there are two different Mujahideen groups, but the one that John Bolton has been involved with is the one in Iran. And these were the people that had been arrested, some of their group members, for purchasing these vessels at that time. And then, oddly enough, we see this very grainy, very edited video of them supposedly removing a landmine from the ship. The source that I have from Iran had told me about this group, and he said they're actually more hated by the Iranian people than most others, because they had joined in the war back when Iraq and Iran fought, and they were a part of the Iraqi side killing their own people. And if you ever do any research on the Mujahideen Iranian group, the leader of that group was very ruthless and even murdered members of his own group and accused them during the war against Iran, when they lost that battle, that they were too preoccupied with the thoughts of their wives. So he caused them to separate from the wives they had, and they had to get a different wife from the group, and basically just swapping wives around to try to break this dedication of love to their wives, which was really absurd that he even said that. But that's just how evil this group is. And of course, John Bolton has been a very strong supporter of this group, has spoken and has been paid by this group in the past. There is records for that that can easily be looked up. Now, with that being stated, the main reason I brought this in here is because of the fact of them purchasing these small vessels that were very similar to the Iranian Guard's vessels that they're using out there. Now, I state this, but it doesn't mean that Iran was not the boat that pulled up alongside of the ship. But I was also told that if there was a landmine on the side of the ship, Iran would have never sent a vessel loaded with people on board that vessel to remove landmine off the side of the ship and risk killing all of these people on there, because it would be very volatile to do so. And then, of course, secondly, we have another, or thirdly, I should say, we have another issue involved, and that is what appears to be a landmine could also easily be a magnetic ladder stabilizer. I'm going to pull up the right name for this. There's two types of those. They're called magnet for pilot ladders. And there's one that is done by suction cup on the side of a ship. And then there's the other type that is done by magnetic. And either way, especially the one that is done by a suction cup, you have to have two hands to grapple this thing. It's very large. And to release the air pressure to remove this from the side of a ship. And it looks just like a landmine on the side of a ship. And of course, it takes two of those. And in the video footage that we're watching, we can only see that they're removing something from the side of the ship. The guy is using two hands. And whether it be the magnetic version of this or whether it be the suction cup type, the same applies in both cases. It's very difficult to remove from the side of the ship because it's really holding on. And the reason for that is when you're climbing down the ladder, that's a pretty high distance from the top of the deck, and they don't want the ladder trying to blow around in the wind when you're coming down. So they use two of those to anchor the ladder off while people would be disembarking from the ship. So these were things that we were looking at as plausible reasons, not just the fact that they may be removing this alleged mine, but all that would be speculation. And then we could say, well, maybe the U.S. is right. Maybe the Iranians did plant landmines on there. But you know, the thing is, Obani, I was already getting the intel right out of the U.S. From some very, very high-ranking officials there that these landmines, these suggestions of torpedoes were all smoke and mirrors. There was no such thing. It was a complete fabrication. And of course, there were two other things that we were looking at. And this is where we're going to have to kind of break this down slowly. First off, it was shared with me. And I was told that I could actually say this publicly, that what the big concern was that the Chinese was sharing technology with the Iranians. It was a technology, though, that we had nothing like it. And this was a grave concern for the United States that this type of technology could fall into the hands of the Iranians. Now,
do you know what this type of technology would concern? Is it a new weapon? Is it a...
As far as I know thus far, it is in a military nature. And at this point, I can only speculate. So let me kind of give you guys a little bit better understanding about this. And I have to use... when I say some of these things, I may not express where the information comes from. But just understand, I have friends from my time before in intelligence field in different sections, different countries, etc., that will share information with me. And it's nothing uncommon, by the way, either, for the U.S. to allow certain intelligence to be shared that they want out to the public for whatever reason may be. A lot of times I'm concerned that when they want certain information out, it's because it's to support propaganda. So I have to kind of weigh, you know, kind of wade through all of this as well, because, you know, which one is giving me the propaganda, which one is giving me the real deal, and that can be a challenge. But I will say this here, though, as I back up on this issue right here, the whole thing about, and hang on 1 second, though, because I am, all right, so the thing is, what was going on, that China giving this technology to Iran, is beyond U.S. capabilities. And the U.S. has no way to mitigate the technology that's being given to them. And as a result of that, one other source that I had was saying to me that when the Iranians back under Obama, when they made a strong stand, when there was talk of war then, the one source that I had said that you could tell that the Iranian military leaders were trying to act brave, but in reality, it was just smoke and mirrors. They were afraid. But he said to me, he said, Stephen, if you'll notice what happened recently. He said when the Iranian military commander spoke and he said to the United States, we could wipe out your entire American fleet with just one shot. And he said to me, I don't think they're bluffing this time, Stephen. And of course, with that being stated, the next thing he pointed out to me was, of course, the Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier strike group never entered into the Persian Gulf. They kept their distance from Iran. And he said, if you think about it, it seems to me that they are certainly, they're taking the threat seriously.
Because, and taking precautions.
Yes, because of this, this is why I believe that this is not a case of propaganda.
Do you think it could be like, remember the SS Donald, called it the SS Donald Duck.
Yeah, but this, the Russian nicknamed it the Donald Duck.
Yes.
And that could be it. And I personally, I think it is something similar to that, because...
Let's tell the listeners what Donald, USS Donald Duck is. I have a cold, sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, so I can go into that as well.
This American ship. What kind of ship was it, Stephen? Do you remember?
I'm going to pull it up right now for everybody. This was back in 2014.
Okay. You do it.
And yeah, when the Russia had one of their Su-24s, and they flew down over the USS Donald Cook, and that, if I'm not mistaken, it's a destroyer. I know it's a destroyer. Exactly which particular class it is, I'm not really sure, but I know it fires Scud missiles. And so, you know, the USS Donald Cook is not any small ship that can't handle its own weight if there's problems going on. But it's not a gigantic ship or anything like that. It's not an aircraft carrier. But the problem was they were sailing up there in the Black Sea, and Russia decided to send a message to them when they began to get a little bit too close to the Russian border, and they sent in a Sukhoi 24 that flew very close to this ship, and using some type of jamming technology, and it was really kind of strange though, because the Sukhoi 24 is just a tactical bomber. But it flew very close to the USS Donald Cook, and suddenly the USS Donald Cook was dead in the water. Nothing would work. The engine would not work. Russia had used some type of system that jammed everything in the ship. And I was even told that there were many of the sailors, when they got back into port, they put in their papers for resignation from the United States Navy.
That's, yes, I read the same thing back then. That was stunning. And at the time, they said, U.S. has nothing like this. What in the world was this? And, you know, similar things have happened. Remember when LAX, when the L.A. airport went down, same thing. Everything was dead. And there have been planes flying off the west coast of America. You know, they're practicing taking out some kind of jamming, you say, taking out all communication, no phones, no electricity, no engine, nothing, nothing. It was like a mini EMP, only it didn't destroy the circuitry. It came back on in a matter of hours.
Exactly. So, but the sad thing is, though, Bonnie, is that I'm being told by some of the top brass that we don't have any way to mitigate this.
No.
And
no.
This is very sad when the United States is, you know, because the United States is really, you know, we're a nation of some great people, great thinkers. And, you know, I hate to say that, you know, war toys are what makes our nation great. But, you know, we do have some very brilliant minds in this country to help protect the United States from foreign threat. But now there is a fear that Iran is being given this technology. I do know, though, and this was something that we had reported in the past as well. I actually, not only did I report it, but I give it right to the top command at the Knesset, because I have contacts in the Knesset as well. And I'll never forget when I wrote the letter, I said, look, I realize I don't agree with everything that the Likud party stands for, but when it comes to the safety of the Israeli people, it's still my people, and I still love them, and I care for them very much. But right now, you need to be aware that Hezbollah has in their own arsenal now missiles from Iran that have the ability to travel 4 kilometers a second. There's nothing Israel can do to shoot that down. There's no defense system that would work. And so now we're dealing with a situation, the same thing with Iran. And of course, but here's where, this is where it gets murky. All right. Now I've got to tell you, I've got to weigh in on some of these things. We've set the stage to let people know who was involved in purchasing boats that look similar like the one that was filmed by the U.S., where this boat was attacked. Could this have actually been the Mayadeen that was planning a device or make it look like they were taking something off that did not exist? And as I said, if you wanted to look up the website that actually has this, there's a website called, let me just pull it up here. Just look up Magnets for Pilot Ladders, P-I-L-O-T, ladders. And these are used on ships there, like I said, to stabilize the ladder so it doesn't move around. You can just look up imaging and you'll see it, especially if you do the one for suction cups, because it looks just like a mine, a landmine or something that's attached to the side of a ship. But the thing is that on top of that, I was just given information that the Prince of the United Arab Emirates had instructed his defense minister. And this was a little while back. This didn't just happen yesterday, but I'm going to give you a little bit more about that. The Crown Prince, he asked the Minister of Security of Defense to create a guard of 200 men in collaboration with the Israeli Mossad. 175 men were from the remnants of ISIS out of Syria, and including Al-Qaeda members were actually chosen for this program. Now, this is going to probably stump some people, but their training base was in Yemen. And that might throw some people off. They'd be thinking like to themselves, wait a minute, whoa, 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 what are you talking about? In Yemen? They've got a training base in Yemen, when yet right now the Saudis and the U.S. are all working together to be able to take out the Houthi rebels in Yemen, and now you're telling me that the Mossad, Israeli intelligence, is working in Yemen to train Al-Qaeda and ISIL members? Yes, absolutely. And not only were they in training in Yemen, but as I mentioned to you earlier, one of the places where these boats were purchased at by the Mujahideen, some of John Bolton's old buddies there, was purchased in Yemen.
And with that, I think we have to close for the first half, everyone. But stay with us for the second half.
Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Are the days of Zechariah warned of upon us? Join Stephen Bannoun and host Bonnie Harvey for a discussion of Jerusalem, the Flashpoint.
Welcome back to the second half, everyone. All right, Stephen, we left on who was trying to buy these boats, these imposter boats that we're seeing now on the front page of Drudge and all over.
Yes, so the people that were purchasing these boats there were the Mujahideen at that time. And I'm looking to see here real quick because I'm thinking, let me just look here. On when these things were going down, let's see here. I think I've got it right here. Pompeo went to Europe to calm them. Okay, I'm gonna read some information for you guys.
Okay,
and then maybe this will help make a little bit of understanding here. In 2009, the height of the tensions between the U.S. and Iran, it came to a point that the U.S. airstrike and attack seemed imminent. The leaders of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, in their interviews, tried to sound confident, but you could feel a sense of resignation, hopelessness in their statements. This time around, they're nothing but confident. I believe what played down in Syria, where the U.S. was using the best Arab fighters seasoned from Afghanistan war, combined with U.S. reconnaissance weaponry and air support, by the way, which was ISIS and al-Nusra, and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard on top, is the reason for their self-belief. He says, I believe that Iran has just showed a bit of what it can do. The drones penetrated. Now, this is what happened back around May, right here at the middle of May. The drones had penetrated over 1,000 kilometers into Saudi Arabia and hit 7 spots. They hit the stations. They showed they can close Bab al-Mandab, and they don't need to close the Strait of Hormuz. They took out the 2 tankers with drones. Was not a gasket flag, but Iran's first response to America. Now, let me clarify something here for you guys to understand that are listening here. This is when I feel more confident that my source is more honest with me. In the case of the 2 tankers that were taken out back in mid-May, my same source here put that blame on Iran. When it come to the 2 tankers, the Japanese tankers, as well as, and what we've not even gotten to as of yet, 6 Iranian ships that are burning in port, this was done by ISIS militants that were trained by the Mossad in the country of Yemen. He goes on to say, though, Pompeo went to Europe to calm them down because they know about the plots. The Mujahideen are trying to start a war to give America the alibi to start the war. Now, let me clarify another issue here. When he says Iran did it, this was the Mujahideen part of Iran that did the attack. It is not the Iranian government that is currently in power. It is not Khomeini. It is not, and that's a pretty wicked guy to begin with. But it isn't Rouhani, the current president of Iran. It isn't his prime minister. The Mujahideen are the ones that work for, or did in the past, work for the CIA for the overthrowing of Iran. They're wanting the country overthrown, and they've been willing to work with Israeli Mossad as well in doing this, but they've worked very closely with John Bolton and Mike Pompeo. Okay, and of course, anybody that knows anything about Pompeo, he also was part of what was going on back. Going on, let's see. All right, so now, so we get. I get there's so much information I can't even begin to tell you everything.
You know, while you collect your mind there, I will say that Hal Turner is saying that his sources within the White House are saying after heated arguments all weekend over Iran, President Trump not wanting to go to war with them, that Pompeo he's given in to Pompeo. So when we see Pompeo in Bolton, you know, those are the guys that might have wrested authority from Trump. Very, very concerning, Stephen.
Yes, yes, it is. And the other part that I wanted to share with you guys here, and this is going back because we're going to go back to this issue of what's going on in the Gulf region here. And then once we kind of finish up here, whatever time we have remaining, I want to talk about what's going on our southern border.
Yes, and also, let's make sure and reserve time for that. Do we need, 10 minutes?
10 minutes would probably take care
of
that.
Okay, I'll try and warn you at 10 minutes.
Okay. So at any rate there, the Mujahideen that Bolton used to visit during Saddam's era in Iraq, these guys here were, they had purchased boats. It's actually, I need to make one correction here. It was from Kuwait is where they had tried to purchase them from with affiliates there. And because the speedboats that the Iranians use are actually built in Sweden, but they started building these boats, identical twins to them, in Kuwait, and the Mujahideen were caught trying to purchase them. Now, oddly enough, we see a boat identical to the Iranian guards alongside of the ship, and I've already got intel coming back from middle of May that the Mujahideen were actually getting these type boats or trying to get them. Well, when that fell through, this is when we find out that ISIS members were being trained to do these types of events as well by the Mossad. And of course, using this type of technology and attacks inside the Persian Gulf, as well as the Gulf of Oman, this whole area was being targeted at that point. Now, speaking of other targets, we also had six Iranian ships that pull that up here real quick as well. That got targeted, and this was about a week ago or so. There's only one article that actually even spoke about this. It's really kind of strange. It's about 6 days ago that the article came out, but it's been over a week ago that the attack actually happened. When an article on Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs reported mysterious blazes on six Iranian ships in Iranian ports. Now, they weren't large ships, but they're fairly good size. But oddly enough, all these ships went up in flames. And that happened on June 7th of 2019. And no one knew why or how they were done. Well, the sources that I have were telling me that they were being done by this group that was trained by the Mossad to make these attacks, including on the tankers in the region there, to make it look like Iran is actually trying to disrupt the world's oil supply, thus putting America in the place to be the policeman, the world's policeman, to stop Iran from doing all the evils that they're doing. But here's what's interesting, though. My own source tells me that Pompeo was being sent to the Middle East, or not to the Middle East, but to Europe to try to calm down the Mujahideen and what they were doing so we don't end up into a major war there. So it seems like the White House doesn't really want to get bogged down into this war with Iran, but there are some other players in the region there that want this war to come anyway. Now,
and Israel would certainly be one of those players, would it not?
Israel does, but you know what's interesting? When this all began back in mid-May, Israel started saying, we don't want a war with Iran, we don't want a war with Iran. Now, this is after Netanyahu has been threatening war with Iran, calling for a war with Iran, saying the U.S. has our back. You know, he's done nothing but sing the praises of bombing Iran, just like that of John McCain when he was alive, you know, when he was going around singing the Beach Boys song, Bomb, 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 Bomb Iran. You know, so that's what Netanyahu sounded like. Now we're in a situation to where it's coming to this. But there is a fear in Washington that there's some technology going around over there that could cause us some major damage. And I say this, and I'll just say this in as a personal observation. And I've also had Israeli intelligence confirm some of these things to me as well. If this goes down with Iran, it's not going to go good for America. And we're not talking about just our men and women in uniform that are putting their lives at risk right now in the Middle East. We're talking about a homeland strike that could come to us as well, and starting with a possible EMP strike on this nation. If we end up going after Iran, if for some reason, whether it be the president, whether it be the deep state, whoever is trying to orchestrate this war with Iran plays out in full, there's going to be a major repercussion that could happen here, and that is mainly because if Russia gets involved.
Yes, I think everyone should consider all the prophecies of Gruver and Dudeman and, many of the dreams. You know, I have started reading Christian dreams. They're just nobodies, and they post their dreams, and some of them are quite amazing. The $50 bill, $20 bill that shows a huge tsunami taking over New York City. In fact, one Christian dream said that New York City, it appears that there will be a huge fire in New York City, and then a tsunami to cleanse her of all her sins. And I don't know if the fire is nuclear or not, but that was certainly... So everything you've read over the years, everyone, might be on the table for the next, 6, 8 years, 12 months. So time to make sure you have the food and the water stacked. We just don't know what, when, and how, but it's confounding. It's very disturbing to very many people in very many high places.
Yes.
Very stressed.
Well, Bonnie, it doesn't end there. And the thing is, if I understand from some of the intelligence sources that I know and I've talked to about this, I actually also spoke with some of my colleagues that I worked with personally when I was in the CIA about some of these things that we're facing on our border here in the United States. And I know a lot of people would say, well, if we'd only give Trump the time to build the wall, we'd be okay. Well, maybe so, maybe not. I don't know. There's no way you can build a wall fast enough. I'd say that to you as well. But I was told just recently, and you won't find this anywhere in the news, but El Salvador, in fact, let me just pull up my map so I can kind of look at this region of the world here as I begin to share these things with you guys. But we're talking about Guatemala, Cuba, Honduras, El Salvador. These four countries, and Cuba's done this before back in 1994, release their prisoners, give them the ability to get on little boats and sail to America. Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador are moving up their prisoners, allowing them to go by foot and go north towards the United States. They're intentionally allowing some of the worst to come into our country to help destabilize it. I was also told recently as well that somehow or another they managed to bring people from Africa that may, and this is I cannot confirm this, but that may have some very serious diseases that come out of Africa that may be allowed to come into the United States.
And they're certainly in, they come from the Congo and just west of the Congo. And the Congo is Ebola territory. So is this the pandemic? I don't think so, really. It's airborne. They're going to spread the diseases airborne, but a lot's coming over.
Yeah, the one thing that I would suggest for people that are listening, if there is a planned, if there's any type of planned situation with Iran, if that were to go down and it turns south and Russia gets involved, it doesn't mean that it would be a good day for Russia either, but if Russia gets involved, it could be a very bad day for America. If you topple that or couple that with a bunch of criminals coming up to the country, not to say we don't have our own prisons full of criminals as well, and then they're free to roam the cities, especially poor Texas. I feel sorry for Texans, but eventually they'll get more states as well. And then you take with the possibility of people come being shipped in from Africa that could also come into the country, that have been brought in, as I've been told they've already been brought in, but we're talking about, if that one is true, they said about a 2 to 3 week gestation period, but it could lead to an epidemic. Now, I was told that the epidemic could be orchestrated in order to do a mandatory vaccination. And I was also told, if you see that this happens, if you've got a safe place you need to be, and you see suddenly that they're talking about a pandemic of whether it be Ebola or whatever kind of disease has just broke out, and that the United States is going to use a vaccine to be able to stop this virus. If you're not for vaccines, then I would certainly look for a place that, or know where you're going to be going to, because you'll have less than 24 hours to get to your location before they'll shut down the roads and highways everywhere.
It's interesting with the Ebola. It used to be immediate. If you got it, you were immediately apparent. But evidently, they have tweaked Ebola so that there is this 2 week, where you're contagious, you're infected, you don't know it. So you can go to all kinds of grocery stores and where people are gathered, parks, wherever people are gathered, and spread it. You don't even know you're infected.
That's right, Bonnie, and it's very, very bad. The thing that concerns me right now, and this was something that's heavily on my own heart for people, and I don't want to cause people to be nervous or panic or anything like that. I like to use the opportunity when I hear things like this to be a little bit better prepared in the event that it could be. It's kind of like the same thing with a hurricane out in the Atlantic Ocean. If you see a massive hurricane forming and you know it's headed your way, you don't know if it's going to hit Miami, New Orleans, San Antonio, Houston, or somewhere in the panhandle of Florida or Mississippi or anything like that. We have no idea where it might. It might even go up the East Coast. Who really knows? But the thing is, the closer this gets, the more that people that try to be prepared, they make provisions for that type of disaster. So it would be the same thing. If I knew that an epidemic was coming, the main thing that I would want to know is that, okay, I've got enough food and water at home to where, to however they decide to stop the spread of a disease like this, that it can be gotten under control, and I don't have to worry about taking my family out in the public until that is under control. If it's a situation as far as war coming to our nation, well, that's a different issue altogether. And unfortunately, in our nation, we have never done like other nations, whether it be Israel or Russia or many of these other countries. They have bunkers for their people. They have places where they can be safe somewhat if all this comes. But then at the same time, maybe I should say it like my old colleague from the CIA said just recently. We were discussing these issues, and he said to me, he says, "Well, Steve," he says, "I think I'd rather be above ground." He says, "Because if I'm going to go, I'd rather go." He says, "Because you know what?" He said, "At the end of the day," he said, "even if you can survive an attack on our nation," he said, "what's it going to be like above ground when it's all over, said and done?" You know, well, that's his thinking, and I guess that's fine as well. But I've always had that survival mentality. I guess it was just kind of ingrained in me through my own training. So, but, you know, I still think we should make preparations regardless. And I know that there are concerns the government has here in America that something could be looming off of our coast, off our eastern seaboard as well. And we see regularly now on the news talk of Russian bombers flying within, you know, very close proximity to our borders. But that's been going on for years. And I just hope that it doesn't come down to this. I will say one thing, though, that I thought was interesting. One friend that I have said to me that Putin really wanted to work out a deal with President Trump when he came into power. But he told me, he said, the problem was, though, Steve, is that he realized that President Trump doesn't have the power that a president should have. And that he realized that he wasn't dealing with a man that could make the decisions for the United States of America. but the deep state and behind him were the real people pulling the strings. And so therefore, that peace with America may not end up being achieved, as much as to his dismay that he would like to see that. And I thought that was interesting, especially in light of the statement that Trump said over Syria when he said, I wanted to bring the troops home. I wanted to get them out. And he said, but you couldn't get the, and he even says deep state. He said they went ballistic on me. They wanted a war. They want to stay. So I don't know what to think anymore when it comes to these things. All I know is that if there's ever a time that you pray for your loved ones and for them to know Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, as their Savior, this is the time.
Amen. That's it. That's it. Any that's our only safety. That's our only island. You know, there are so many promises that say if you're in his hand, you know, a thousand here, 10,000 there, and you'll walk right on through them. So, you know, I just pray to be a harvester, and I'm going to just ask Father about vaccines. Should I take it or not? I'm going to, you know, say, shall I stay in my house? And hopefully he'll lead those, the remnant that is in every country. Every country has people that are just sitting there quietly and they're watching. You know, we're commanded to watch many, many times in the New Testament. So, you know, Stephen and I are watching. And, you know, if I know you are too. If you're a listener of this show, you're watching also. Because people who are not watchers or not watching, they say, oh, that upsets me, or that I can't deal with my day if I listen to you. I've had these comments, but it's coming, and I had to make up my mind about this 20-some years ago. I know it's coming. The only question is, will I see it and prepare it, or will I have it hit me blindside? And I chose to see it. So I know that you have also. Let me see. We have about 2 minutes left, Stephen.
Well, I'll say this. I know that President Trump is in Orlando, Florida today. He is kicking off his campaign rally for 2020 for running for president of the United States. And supposedly, according to the local news here in Orlando, he's got major crowds there at the Amway building in downtown Orlando where they're doing an inside campaign there. But, you know, it's strange when I look at the politics, Bonnie. You see all this political talking, getting ready to go for running for another election, and yet at the same time, our country is at more and more peril. Yes. Than it's ever been. I think I would have to say, in all honesty and sincerely, we are in a more dire strait than the Cuban crisis. If you multiplied that by 10 times, that's how serious we are right now. With this issue over Iran. And I'll let me just leave you with one last quote for the people. This was said to me by probably the highest ranking person that I have in the intelligence field there that made this statement to me today, in fact. And that is that we are in over our heads.
That doesn't sound good coming from our highest official. Is that because of the new technology that's been given to Iran? And, you know, war technology comes, I mean, it's all alien technology. You know, Area 51, the saucers, all of the Nazi warfare, all their innovative weaponry. I mean, it was the fallen angels that gave the Canaanites how to smelt and make metal weapons of war. They've been peddling technology for cooperation with them forever, since the beginning of time. Yeah. So, you know, I think it might be when you were saying that, you know, Russia has this and the U.S. doesn't, you know, maybe it's been decided in the highest places of the prince of this world that it's time America goes down. So we're going to give this secret weapon to our enemies who can help bring them down. And surely we have leaders who are in cahoots with these evil entities. Is it because of the new weaponry, Stephen, do you think?
Well, the thing is, what was being shared with me is that we basically have allowed some of our allies to help us to agitate a situation with Iran that comes with much higher stakes.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not just Iran we're dealing with. Yeah. And we've allowed our allies to push us to a place with countries that back Iran and even sharing technology with Iran that could easily outdo what we have. And we're just not ready for it. That's at the end of the day, we're not ready for what could happen.
And with that, we'll have to close. Thank you for joining us, folks. Thank you so much, Stephen, for joining me and us. And we'll try to get to be more timely with our next interview. So be blessed. Get food. Get water.